We're here.
Welcome
to Nonsense and Nothingness, a podcast about anything but episode one.
Number one. Number the first take.
One. My name's Connor Watson, and I'm one of your hosts, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm Seth Lenore. I guess I'm one of your other hosts.
Yeah, exactly. We're two college kids.
Yes.
Who like to talk about life, news, college kids' perspective, alcohol, etc.
That goes under the college kids' perspective.
It really does. You're right. And we don't really have expectations for this podcast, so to speak, but we do have plans and where we want to see it go. And so if you're a college kid or if you're not a college kid, you're a boy or a girl or a man or it doesn't matter. Tune in as long as you're of age, because we have to promote legal things. Pour up a glass of whiskey with us and listen in. But this is episode one. Welcome.
Welcome to Nonsense and Nothingness.
Triple N, NNN, Nonsense and Nothingness.
All of the above.
We're going to figure it out together. Yeah. That's what it's really about. We're going to figure it out together. But
absolutely.
Speaking of the alcohol, we'll start things off with something that's very near and dear to Seth and I's hearts, and I think will be one of the reoccurring and important parts of this podcast, and that is Whiskey of the Week.
Whiskey of the Week. So our first whiskey of the week is going to be Evan Williams Black Label.
Ooh.
Okay, this is a Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey, Kentucky's first distillery. Distilled in Kentucky, bottled by Old Evan Williams Distillery, Bardstown, Kentucky. It's 43% alcohol per volume.
There you go.
Which makes this 86 proof.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, isn't it?
You're right. You are good at that math, though. You're
I can multiply things. I can double things.
Yeah, Seth is a chemical engineering major, so yeah, it's paying off.
This is my specialty.
Yeah. exactly.
Distilling.
Yeah.
But yeah, for our first one, just for reference, this went in the liquor store. This goes for around $15.
That's not bad.
Pretty cheap, and it is the better Evan Williams, right? There's the green label, and then there's the black label.
All right, well, we'll see where this one takes us. I'm minorly skeptical just because I've had Evan Williams in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't delicious.
I'll tell you one thing I've had of Evan Williams that was awful, and it was their eggnog mix.
Oh, gosh.
Around the holidays, they come up with this eggnog and whiskey mix, and people love it.
Uh-huh.
I hate it. It tastes awful. So
yeah, I'm not a big eggnog guy. In general, my dad definitely is.
My dad is as well.
Eggnog, even though it's not at all this, it reminds me of buttermilk.
I know what you mean.
Have you ever had buttermilk straight? It's a mistake.
No, Connor. I've never looked at the gallon of buttermilk in my fridge and said,
I should drink that.
That looks refreshing. It's like yellowy and
yeah.
I don't know. The only time you should use buttermilk is when you're making ranch dressing. Hot take.
Like it. My grandfather loves buttermilk, and he'll pour a glass and salt the top of the glass and drink it like that. And that's weird.
It is weird.
But yeah, here we go. We're going to pour this up. And cheers to the first whiskey of the week.
Cheers.
Here we go.
You know, first impressions, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Surprisingly pleasing.
It's very upfront with the alcohol flavor, though. More so than some of the other whiskeys. Definitely. And we've had whiskeys of similar proofs and not had this immense hit of alcohol.
It feels stronger than it is.
Yeah, definitely. Because, like, you taste it and you don't... It's not like you're drinking Everclear or anything.
It also smells like nail polish.
Well, there's that upfront taste I was talking about.
You know, you really want your whiskey to smell like a good nail polish remover.
I love acetone in the morning.
Hey,
that gets
Seth, we need to talk
me
about
out
that.
Of out of bed.
Out of bed. It's good.
Yeah. What's the flavor?
But it's not great.
It is definitely okay.
Like
it
it's
is not
palatable.
Great.
Definitely palatable.
It's not great.
Definitely
but
$15.
Think about it. This is $15 a fifth whiskey, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think it's passable. Like really do.
Do we know how long this is aged? couple days.
they put it in the barrel and then they pour it right out of the barrel afterwards.
It's more like a transfer. It's,
and it just ferments inside the bottle actually while it waits on the shelf. That's how it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's those new GMOs.
Wow, science, man.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I would say it's good if you're looking for a whiskey.
Right.
Besides that,
see where this gets interesting is when we compare this to other whiskeys of similar price. Like I'd be interested to see if this is better than Jim Beam. I'd be interested to see if it's better than, I don't know. Like we can try Jack, and Jack, you know, it's like a $25.
Jack D.
Yeah. Jack Daniels though,
it's a different animal.
It is.
There are some people who live and die by Jack Daniels.
Connor, here's my problem with Jack Daniels. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, in economics, how they say you want to beat the market.
Uh-huh.
Jack Daniels is the market.
Jack Daniels is the market.
You gotta find something either better for cheaper or worse for cheaper or better for more. I don't know. You can't just buy Jack. Okay. That's the point. Economics 101.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
And that's why we come to this podcast, is to learn, right?
Yeah.
But given that this is the first episode, well, before we hop into that, I think we should rate it.
Yeah. What would you rate it out of 10?
I'd give it like a solid 5.
I was going to say 4.5, so you were a little higher than me.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I really like whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my drink of choice, probably going to be a whiskey. Just a whiskey neat. And depending on the proof,
aren't
it might
you
be
a
on
hard
the rocks.
Ass.
It might be on the rocks, depending on the proof.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm a man.
Oh, boy.
Also, I have a bone to pick with this bottle. It doesn't have a cork.
Yeah, no cork.
I like corks a lot.
Is there something particular about the corks that
I'm
makes
dropping
it
to a 4.5 because it doesn't have a cork. Okay. I didn't think about that.
Right.
That's at least worth half a point. Could be a whole point. I think I'm being generous.
It does look a lot trashier with the plastic screw on.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, at $15. So you gotta, what you have to do is on this podcast, we're going to try whiskeys anywhere between $10 all the way up to probably $50. And mm-hmm. depending on if we're doing a celebratory episode, if we make it to, you know, $50, could go higher.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. We're two broke college kids. Anyway.
Right.
So you have to put yourself in the mindset of a $15 fifth.
Yeah,
and for $15,
like that's cheap. That's
for
whiskey.
That's inexpensive.
That's yeah. I don't know. I guess in the vodka equivalent world, this would be like a Smirnoff, maybe.
Yeah.
It's around the same price.
I would be really curious to know what the difference between Black Label and Green Label is. Like what?
Maybe we can try that
it.
Next time. Oh, like the actual difference, or just a taste test.
Both. Like, I would want to see if I could pick out, yes, that definitely has more developed flavors. Also, what did they do to it? Does the Black Label sit in a barrel for a few more seconds? How does that play out?
It is scary when they don't tell you, like, mm-hmm. anything about the actual process. They just have this picture of this guy. I'm assuming he's Mr.
Also, does it say bottled and distilled?
Yeah, it says distilled in Kentucky, bottled by Old Evan Williams Distillery.
Okay.
So I get at least it's distilled in Kentucky.
Okay. You gotta be skeptical of those whiskeys when they say bottled by. That typically means they didn't distill it. But since it also says distilled on there,
Connor, we're forgetting something. This label actually says extra aged in oak.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's extra aged in oak.
There you go.
Yeah,
I bet they're new charred oak barrels is what I bet they are. I bet they are. But apparently some whiskeys are aging their whiskeys in, like, it's either the whiskeys are aging in old wine barrels or wine is being aged in old whiskey barrels. I can't remember.
Yeah,
there's some crossover there with certain products. I'd be interested to try those because I'm a wine guy as well.
With whiskey, you know, you can only age it once, I believe is the rule.
Uh-huh.
You know, Tabasco peppers are aged in Jack Daniels barrels. Yeah.
That's cool.
Because you can only use them once, and you can use them to age hot sauce a
million times.
Yeah.
Cool. I like that.
Back to the podcast.
Yeah. But we'll talk a little bit about, I guess, the direction we want to go with this podcast, a little bit about us as the first episode. I'm sure you're curious who's talking to you.
Yeah, who just took this shot with me?
Yeah. Who are these kiddos who rolled up and think that they can run a podcast?
Yes.
Yeah, well, we're both 21.
Correct.
We're both straight white males.
Correctamundo.
We went to high school together and junior high together, and now we're in college together.
A little more personal, but yeah.
We've spent a lot of time together.
We have. Yeah. We've spent Oh boy, what's it been? Sixth grade when we were...
We were 12 years old.
Yeah, 12.
Roughly, and now we're both 21.
Wow.
So...
it's been a hell of a 9 years.
Yeah, hell of a 9 years.
Yeah, you really haven't glown up much, I'm
wow.
sorry.
Wow, okay, that's awesome. Cool, we're glad we're there.
No, I'm kidding.
No, but as far as what we want to do with the podcast, the hope is to create a community of like-minded people who are not even like-minded people, just people who want to join a discussion, talk about things going on in the world, different topics that matter to college kids, people who are interested in going to college, you know, anything in between. If you're not, that's fine too, because we're going to talk about a menagerie of things that Seth and I find to be interesting.
Yeah.
All the way from politics to world events to anything.
Sportball.
Sportball.
Sportball. My favorite sport.
I'm not a big sports guy.
Really?
I like them.
Mm-hmm.
But only towards the end of seasons.
when it matters or
yeah,
it doesn't?
So like I don't really watch basketball until March Madness.
That's like being a Christmas and Easter only person at church. That's like,
yeah, that's exactly what that's
you're a CEO, Connor.
yeah, Christmas and Easter only.
Yes.
Yeah.
But for sports,
yeah. Like, I only watch, and I don't watch professional sports really at all.
I understand that.
I occasionally track with the Saints. Seth and I are both from the Southeast, so.
Saints, baby. Who dat?
Yeah, who dat? And so, I occasionally pay attention to the Saints. Don't watch the MLB at all. I pay attention to college. That's about it.
Right.
And only at the end of the season. Except for football. I pay attention to football throughout the year because football is a religion in the Southeast.
That it is?
Yes, it is.
We are in the Southeastern Conference.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But anyway, oh, I forgot to plug it. You can email us at nonsense, capital N, nothingness, at gmail.com to join the conversation.
Yes, please. Yeah. Email us your questions. We'd be happy to answer them, talk about them.
Any topics that you would like Seth and I's very learned and
very wise. Yeah.
Opinion on as two 21-year-old college students. We have a lot to bring to the table.
We have a very wide perspective, trust us.
We really do. But hopefully we're able to accrue an audience that really enjoys listening to us spout random, mildly educated, and sometimes not at all educated, things at a microphone. And
yeah, we want to talk about the stuff that college students care about, think about, wonder about. We want to be the people to take that to another level of discussion and really delve into those ideas. We're both pretty good at talking through the bigger problems in life, and we both have slightly different perspectives on life.
Mm-hmm.
And we can, a lot of times we end up at the same place anyways.
Yeah, more or less. I'd say we also are able to disagree on things, but like...
respectfully.
It's okay.
And that's something that we don't have enough of in today's society.
I would agree.
Respectful disagreement.
I would agree. I was listening to a podcast today. I can't remember who it was. It was either H3H3. I don't know if any of you will be familiar with that, but it's a YouTube channel. You should check them out. They're incredible. Or it was the Joe Rogan podcast. I can't remember.
The JRE.
Yes. But... they were talking about how Obama was speaking at this conference with these students, and he was talking about how at Camp David they had a meeting with different Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, etc., and he was naming some of the Republicans and Libertarians, and he was at a very liberal university, and whenever he was doing that,
okay,
the students were hissing, you know, you know,
Devil,
the devil, the Republicans. And Obama was saying, and they were talking about incarceration rates in America and how they're crazy insane and how Republicans don't want them because they fiscally don't make sense. They're very expensive. Mm-hmm. Libertarians don't want them because we're taking away people's liberty. Democrats don't want them because they don't want to see people
locked up drug charges.
Exactly. So Obama was like, we all find this common ground for different reasons so we can work together. And they were talking about how the students just didn't seem to understand that.
Yeah.
That you can disagree on many things but still find common ground. And so the hope is that we can cultivate a culture of disagreeing.
Respectfully.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But thank you for tuning in, the two or three of you that are out there.
We love both of you.
We love both of you so much. Janice, you're incredible.
Margaret,
Both women. John, just a really generic name. John.
Jack.
You're a stud. You really are.
Absolutely.
Thanks for tuning in. But what are we talking about, Seth? What do we want to talk about this week? I'm going to put you on the spot.
You're going to put me on the spot?
Yeah, where are we going with this one?
How about the future of transportation? Okay. And we've talked about this in other podcasts, but I want to talk about one thing specifically that has come and gone at our humble university, and that is Lime Bike.
Wait, it's gone?
Did you not notice?
No. What?
Yeah, they're gone. You can't find them anymore. Lime Bike packed
up. I'm
going
to interrupt you for a second. I just finished my glass of Evan Williams. I can't say it's good.
Why not?
I'm going to give it more of a chance.
Try with rocks. I got you a glass of ice.
Okay.
Here, try it with some rocks.
Let's get this ASMR going. Oh, yeah. Just in case you're into that.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get some as well, actually.
The future of transportation, including Lime Bikes. Well, the whole, like, pay for a small ride model with the scooters with, I think it's called Bird, mm-hmm. or something.
There are a ton of them.
And like, there's several of these companies. They've been under assault by cities for a while, supposedly, because
yep.
they clutter streets and sidewalks.
Here's one for you. Lime bikes don't come with helmets.
True.
And in our city, it's illegal to ride a bike without a helmet.
Really?
Yeah. I know someone who's actually gotten a ticket for it.
Thank God I've never used a Lime Bike because I would not be wearing a helmet.
Yeah,
they got a ticket.
Yeah,
a cop pulled them over.
Yeah,
and said, "Hey,
you're not wearing a helmet."
How big was the ticket?
It was like $45, but he took it to the courthouse, and they never ended up processing it, so they just kind of let it slide.
Huh.
But he actually got a citation.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is like citing a kid on a college campus for jaywalking.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody does that.
Yeah.
Like in big cities, it's necessary.
I understand because that's...
if you're in New York City, you can't jaywalk.
With traffic laws, like in a big city, that's the number one problem of traffic. The most uncontrollable factor in the traffic equation is people.
Pedestrians.
Pedestrians crossing whenever they want. Pedestrians not following the street signs.
Yeah.
But here... this weekend, I was at a crosswalk on Main Street, and I was sitting there right at the stoplight, and there were a bunch of cops because a gay pride parade was in town.
Mm-hmm.
And so the parade was coming by, and I was like trying to cross the street, and I looked at the cop, and I was like looking around, like waiting for the light to change, and he goes, "Look, just walk."
Wait, he looked at you and said that?
Yeah. He said, "Look, just look both ways and just go."
You're like,
and I was like, okay officer,
thanks.
I'm waiting for the street light, but thank you.
That's funny.
Yeah, and that's the attitude around here.
Yeah, I think was that the first gay pride parade in
the second.
The second in Starkville.
Yeah.
Cool. Interesting.
Number two.
How was that?
I didn't.
Were there
get
a lot of people?
Yeah, there were quite a few people.
I saw some stuff on social media.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I just went to Pita Pit. I wasn't actually in the parade. I was just going to a restaurant.
You're supporting the LGBTQ community?
No, I mean, I support them, but...
You're a liar. You straight white male, misogynistic POS.
You didn't even call me homophobic.
Yeah,
so.
You're homophobic.
Okay.
Yeah. You're racist.
Well, look, I support the gay pride cause, but I don't feel like I'm in it in the battle enough. I don't feel like I have enough skin in the game to go out there and march during
That's
my
fair.
Saturday.
You feel as though it'd be somewhat empty.
Yeah, but I'm not out there protesting either. Yeah. I'm just like,
were
hey,
there people
protesting? Yes, there were.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, and they were here on campus.
Oh, wait, it was the like hellfire and brimstone people, right?
Yeah, those people.
There are these people. If you're a college student, I'm sure,
especially
I'm
sure
every
campus has
especially,
these
especially public, at a four-year university,
public
university. This group of picketers basically that come in with these giant signs that talk about, you know, God hates, insert whatever slur
you
really want to. They're kind of like the Westboro Baptist Church, maybe a little less crazy.
Right, because they're not out there to commit acts of violence or anything.
True.
They're just there to protest, and then if somebody socks them in the face, then they can sue.
Yeah,
That's literally their whole game.
That is their game. Also, I have had friends, just girls, walking across campus in leggings. Very normal.
Yeah.
They'll just walk by them, and they'll be like, you're a whore, as they walk by. And it's like...
Well, dang. Why?
Yeah. Huh.
Huh.
That's funny.
Wow.
That's weird.
Show me the evidence, sir.
Yeah, we've had a lot of that on campus recently. I respect the older gentlemen who just have the Gideon Bibles, and they don't do anything, but they just pass them out.
Yeah, they're not protesting.
They're not protesting. They're just passing out Bibles.
Like, I have no problem with the Gideons. I like the Gideons.
I don't mind the Gideons. Yeah, no problem with that at all. That's great. That's respectful. You're just giving people an opportunity and a path. That's great.
Yeah.
The people who come out onto the drill field and just go ham.
Just start berating
and
people.
And have like a bullhorn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no point
for that. It's exhausting. And
I mean,
giving... So I'm a tour guide on campus, and Fridays are one of our heaviest tour days, and they were here this past Friday. So you got these families that are seeing state for the first time.
That's atrocious.
Yeah. And so, but it's one of those things. You try and spin it a positive light. You're like, Mississippi State is a green light university, meaning we respect free speech, da 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 da, you know?
Yeah.
Because there would be universities that would, I mean, obviously public universities you have to, but there would be student bodies at universities that
would not allow that to happen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it is cool that we do respect the right to free assembly, to free association, to free speech. Mm-hmm. That's a battle that's ongoing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we definitely need to allow them to go
absolutely.
And say their thing.
Absolutely. Even though I don't agree with it at all.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely not. It's I don't even think they agree with what they're saying.
They're just spouting
bullshit.
Yeah.
Just to make people punch them so that they can sue and mm-hmm. get enough gas money to make it to the next public university.
Exactly. Yeah, it was just really interesting this past Friday because there was such a dichotomy because at one end of the drill field, you had the fire and brimstone people calling girls who walked by in leggings whores, and you had children on the other end playing, like, throwing a football or something.
Yeah,
and it was
playing with a dog.
Yeah, and there were puppies. It's like, this is so strange.
Yeah,
so that was always a weird mix-up. But it's always fun to walk out on the drill field and be like, oh, cool, I'm getting yelled at today for no apparent reason. That's awesome.
Campus current events is one of my favorite things to look at.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you read The Reflector, which is our school newspaper. School newspapers have the juiciest gossip.
Do they really?
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me about it.
It's so local and so relevant. I love it. Especially the op-eds get really fun. There's also the bad dog section where they just post like police reports.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I feel like I should read it now.
Yeah, no, it's
I've been sleeping on The Reflector.
Yeah, it's like a well-run newspaper, and this goes for all local public universities, I guess, or honestly, every university probably has a newspaper.
I would imagine so.
But local news is the most enticing to read.
Oh, it's hilarious.
It's great, because you hear about these national stories, and you're like, yeah, somewhere in Florida that shit happened.
Yeah.
But then when you hear like, oh my gosh, like three dorms down, this dude went out to a dumpster and started hooking up with his stuffed animals. Like, what? No, dude, stop.
So is that something that came up off the top of your head? Or is that,
yeah,
is
right
that something
top.
That actually happened? Wow, that's genius. That's pretty good. Yeah, I've been sleeping on The Reflector. I need to try it out.
I think so. I think things that go on campus have such a strong connection with it. Like, obviously, everyone on campus experiences it, and we're all connected by the university. Mm-hmm. I just saw you wince.
Don't like it, I don't think.
Can you describe it what exactly it is?
It tastes, one, like a mistake. Two.
Okay.
Two, I mean that tongue-in-cheek, obviously.
Yeah.
This whiskey is a mixer. 1,000,000%.
You're correct.
This isn't meant to be had straight or neat.
Yeah, probably.
At all. I don't think. I mean, obviously you can drink it that way and it's fine. There's something about it that legitimately to me tastes artificial. Like there's no sweetness there that is enticing. There's no full development. Like, I'm about to drink a little more, even though I've realized my drinking pace is significantly higher than yours.
I think you just like whiskey more than me.
Okay, that's fair. There's not an identifiable flavor. It's not like, oh, there's some vanilla, a little bit of, you know, dash of whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you got to realize this is the best Evan Williams gets, by the way. Like, this is the black label.
And I'm proud of them.
Like, there's a step below this, Connor.
They're making more whiskey than I am. So that's something.
Yeah, I think Evan Williams, it probably is a mixer brand.
Yeah.
Man, do I just need to get the Four Roses just to make you happy?
No. No. I don't need to drink any more whiskey. But what I will say is this would probably make a fairly decent whiskey Coke.
Yeah.
You know, That's what it's for. Is this is very alcohol forward and you kind of lose whatever nuances are in there. You know?
Yeah.
Because I don't think that there are any nuances.
I think you're right in that it is the perfect mixer alcohol because it doesn't have any identifiable flavors, so that when you put this in a Coke, by God, you taste Coke
and alcohol, and that's it. And so what I'm saying here is it also gets worse the more I drink of it, which is,
that's interesting.
Okay. I feel like that's the opposite of what happens with most alcohols to a point,
right?
I'm not close to being drunk right now, but I feel like,
and I think with normal whiskey, it tastes better the longer you, like, the more you sip. That first sip is like, oh gosh, and then after that, it gets progressively better.
Yeah,
but I see what you mean. Maybe for this one, it gets like the alcohol forwardness. It almost like the alcohol separates out from the actual flavor.
Yeah, it's,
well, Connor, this is why we can't rate every whiskey we drink highly.
I agree. I feel like I should drop it more.
To like what, a 3?
I think my official and final answer on this is going to be a 3.5. I think that's going to be my official and final answer.
Okay. We'll put that down on the books.
I think what we need to do is pour it and then over time, like at the end of the podcast, rate it. Once it's had time to like really sit.
What
I mean is like sip it throughout the podcast, then at the end of the podcast.
Give it like an initial rating and then maybe an end of the podcast rating.
Yeah.
Maybe when we're more drunk, we'll be like, hell yeah, that was great.
This is freaking incredible.
That was amazing.
Yeah. I don't think it's for me.
Okay.
I don't think it's for me.
It's fine.
It's okay. A 3.5 is okay. Out of 10. It's palatable. I'm really excited for a time that we have a whiskey, and I'm just like, holy shit, that is terrible. Like, that is really bad.
Okay, there's one whiskey that they had cheaper than this at Cellars, our local liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Kentucky Tavern.
Oh, that sounds sketchy.
Doesn't it? It doesn't roll off the
tongue. Watch it be incredible.
It was like a $7 a fifth whiskey.
That's awesome.
So, whatever
that
this is,
getting drunk whiskey only.
Yeah, that's not safe for consumption alone. No.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so far we've successfully talked about evangelical protesters and whiskey.
Exactly. My turn. Go for I've been curious about this, Seth, because you're on a path of. Seth is a chemical engineering student who wants to be a med student as well, wants to be a doctor.
Yes.
At the end of this path, unless this podcast just absolutely blows up and we get this
dropping out, baby,
we get this incredible following. Podcasting. You want to come and watch us at live events, and we become super ultra famous. What pushes you?
Oh.
What motivates you? Because I think as college students, something that we all struggle with, I think in life, in general, mm-hmm. burnout is a problem.
Absolutely.
Right? With anything that you're doing. But I think that college students are uniquely placed to get really tired of what they're doing, you know?
I agree. I think the curriculum's set up that way. I think the classes are set up that way. I mean, it's 4 years of pretty rigorous schooling.
It's a grind.
And 4 years of doing stuff that you don't necessarily want to do. Mm-hmm. So every day you have to get up and you have to go to this class that may or may not be relevant to your major. You might just be taking it, in our case, as Mississippians, because you need to hit 15 hours to reach like scholarship full-time status. Mm-hmm. Like some of those kind of classes I absolutely hate. But as far as the motivation, I feel like it's something, to me, it's almost something you can't even develop. Like you have to innately have this drive to do something. Mm-hmm. And when you figure out what it is, you just have to develop your whole self towards it. Now, that being said, whenever I see any kind of, this is going to sound super cheesy, but whenever I watch like Grey's Anatomy or just like ER trauma show, and I see, or like Live PD, one of my favorite new shows, mm-hmm. whenever I see something that's happened that's traumatic and the ambulance rolls in and there's a gunshot wound, and I see them putting them on the stretcher, taking them back, like patching them up. I mean, I literally get like a hard-on.
And so why is that? Do you get that because you want to be able to help people? You want to have the skill level that nobody else has? Like what?
It's a combination of all that. Obviously, to be a doctor, it comes with into any super graduate level degree, you know, doctor, lawyer, PhD, it's going to take some knowledge that nobody else is going to have.
Agreed.
And I think having the ability to help people where they otherwise would be helpless, mm-hmm. you know, because obviously if everyone in America was a doctor, it wouldn't matter so much.
Yeah, what's the point?
But the fact that you kind of give up so much of your life to learn a skill that's meant to help people, I think is really, it's a really strong urge.
Yeah.
And tugs the motivational heartstrings.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say after knowing you for 9 years, mm-hmm. it's kind of weird to say, but after knowing you for nine years, when you put your mind to, I would say that you are a uniquely motivated individual in the sense that you become an expert at that one thing, and once you conquer it, it's like, okay, what's my next thing? You know what I mean? You became really, really good at chess. Move on.
I did.
You went super hard in the weightlifting world, in the fitness world.
Yeah.
Got your six-pack.
Smart and ripped.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn.
Got your six-pack, got down to a pretty solid fat percentage, especially for your high end, just everything.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've just...
No, that's real. Like yeah, the hobby burnout is real. I've had a ton of super random hobbies, and this is not unique to me, I don't think. My grandfather was the same way. Mm-hmm. Where
it's in the blood.
Yeah, it is. Like I don't know if you knew this, but or I think you probably do know. I was a yo-yoed for a while. I knew like a ton of yo-yo tricks. Did a lot of card tricks. Magic, got into chess. Still am into chess. I do origami. I like origami.
Yeah.
I'm into a ton of different hobbies, but none of those are like main drivers, right?
For sure.
Like when you hit on something that's going to be your career path and you can really say, okay, I'm doing something meaningful every day and can go into a profession where I'm going to change somebody's life every day. Yeah. That's immensely more powerful than the self-gratification I get from folding a bird. And that's the answer.
No, that's
right?
Super. That's
like
super fair.
Whatever your passion is, though, you have to stick to it, and you have to say, okay, well, this is what I have to do to reach X goal.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. right? Like either you can do it or you can't. And I know that's a pretty ruthless way to look at it.
No, but that's very fair.
Everything that I've accomplished, I've been obsessive about.
Yeah.
And I just don't think you can half-ass anything, honestly. I think you'll lose interest.
Yeah, I think that that's fair.
What is your perspective on it? What do you think is the key to surviving burnout, especially in the college world?
Yeah. I don't know that there's a one-size-fits-all key. I think that there's a couple things that you can look at in successful... We'll keep it down to the student level since we're talking about college.
Okay.
There's a couple things that you can see on average with successful students. And I mean that more than you made an A on your test. I mean that in the sense of you're successful socially, you're doing well in your major, you are successful even financially speaking of you not, I have a lot of money, but I'm a college student and I'm able to manage the slim pickings that I do have, you know? Right. So I think that there are a couple things that you see with those students. I think any top dogs, so to speak, in your college world.
And everybody knows who these people
yeah,
are.
Yeah, you can see them. You can identify them.
Right.
You really can. If you're mildly socially aware mm-hmm. at all, you can say that person carries themselves differently. I think that, like you said, it's not something that's learned.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
Like, I think you can. You have to make an active choice and practice, but it's not something that you're born with, is what I mean.
Right.
So,
I think it's like an active choice every day, right? But if you make the same choice every day, is it really a choice, or are you just doing it?
Well, and that's what I was leading up to is. I think at the end of the day, one of the most prominent indicators of someone who's going to be successful is someone who seeks discomfort.
Okay.
So if you're doing the same thing every single day, you're getting good at that thing, most likely. If you're not, you need to go back to the drawing board. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing the same thing every day, the reason that you're probably doing that is because that's what you have found to be comfortable. You found your lane, you're staying in it. You know? And I think the movers and shakers in this world are people who go out and actively seek discomfort. They want to go outside of their comfort zone and pick something that they're not good at, interact with people that they don't quite understand, mm-hmm. Push themselves mentally and physically. I think one of the most important things in this world is taking care of yourself physically as well, because you only get one of these bodies, you know?
Of course.
As far as we know. And I think that that's a really big indicator.
I agree. I think the discomfort
as far as
thing.
Long-term success.
I agree that the discomfort thing is really key. I think another way to maybe phrase that is they're never satisfied with mm-hmm. where they are. I think if you're not moving forward in life, if you're not looking at every part of your life saying, how can I do this better?
Yeah.
You're not growing as a person.
I agree with that.
I think if you're just in that routine, if you're a cubicle worker and like you do the 9 to 5, go home to the kids, like tuck them in and just say, oh man, well,
not that
that's it
anything
for the night.
Wrong with that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with that.
Yeah.
But if you don't have a bigger plan for yourself, and if you're not thinking, okay, how can I be the best, you know, how can I be the best friend I can be, the best, you know, if you're in the situation, dad I can be, how can you be the best career man you can be? If you're not saying that, if you're not looking at how you can do things better, I think you're degrading.
Yeah, I think if you look at yourself in the mirror and you are not an old person and you said, yeah, everything's really great about me, I've probably peaked and I'm not getting any better than this, you're in dangerous territory, you know?
Yeah.
Unless you're like Justin Bieber or who's like at the height of the music world or, you right. know, these incredible young, there are some incredible young people out there who are doing incredible things. And the reason they're doing those things is they look at themselves in the mirror every day and are like, well, I'm not good enough yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's this fine line to, and this all goes back to burnout, is because if you wake up every single day and you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, I'm not good enough yet, there's a certain point where you're going to get up and look at yourself and say, I'm never going to be good enough. And then you just,
right,
you know, it's a downward angle from there.
That's an unfortunate paradigm shift.
Yeah, it's super dangerous because you're playing this balancing act, you know,
right,
of how do I push myself and know to keep going, and when do I know to relax and take a breather.
And it's also a battle with self-esteem,
yeah,
too, right? I mean, if you look up every day in the morning and you go, man, I don't have the six-pack, I have a six-pack, I really want an eight-pack. Like, you can have body dysmorphia issues and still be, like, really fit.
Yeah.
You know, why do you think bodybuilders keep going once they reach, like, that perfect chiseled physique?
Yeah.
How do they keep going? It's because, there's this battle between progression and self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's like an angel and a devil, and it fights and it fights and it fights, and then you end up crashing one way or the other.
Yeah. And I would say even beyond physical fitness, even from a mental standpoint or a social standpoint, you know, I'm top of the class, I'm killing the game, I have a 4.0, I have a, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And then what do I do now?
But it's not good enough. I got to do more. I got to be better. I need to get that minor. I need to do, you know, I need to pick up something there. Or socially, I'm at the top of my game. I'm dating this cool girl or guy or whatever. Or I have these incredible friends and I'm kind of the top dog in that pack.
Mm-hmm.
From whatever lens that you look at it through, I think it's really difficult to balance, especially in today's world, to balance between I'm good for myself, I'm happy for myself, I'm satisfying myself, I'm at a healthy place for myself as well as others,
right,
my parents, my friends, my family, etc. And I think, I can't remember what study it is, but there was like a several year study asking millennials, what are the things that you struggle with the most?
Mm-hmm.
And number one by far is anxiety. Everybody's anxious. Everybody our age, even though we're kind of in the middle ground between millennials and Generation Z, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're kind of in that middle ground.
Which is an interesting topic in itself.
Yeah, I don't know which one we are, but young people are super anxious. And there's a lot of theories on why that is. Mm-hmm. But in America, it could be just because of the hyper-competitive realm that we live in.
Social media.
Social media plays a big part of it.
Think about how FOMO was like never a thing until...
And now it's a huge thing.
Now it's a huge thing. Because before, if you didn't get invited to a party, you missed out on a few inside jokes. Now you miss out on a party, you have to look for the next 3 days
of
people's...
And how much fun everybody was having.
Yeah, on everybody's Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter about how amazing it was.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's very interesting. Also, I won't name him because I, you know...
Sure.
But there is a person that is of significant position on campus who a friend and I were talking to him, and he said, look, if cell phones and social media, etc., existed whenever I was growing up, there is no way in hell I would be in the position that I am today.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because I feel like I've never looked at it that way because we grew up in this realm of, all right, you can't say this, you can't say that, you can't do this, you can't do that. We're always looking over our shoulder, whereas in the past, it's people could cut up and have fun, do whatever they wanted to do, and it was never really in danger of being seen or heard, and it didn't. And whenever they were kids and they were doing something stupid,
mm-hmm.
and now whenever you're a 40-year-old adult, like that doesn't apply to you because it's lost to the past. Now, literally everything that we're doing is constantly cataloged and can be looked up. And you see that in the news. Like, you see, it seems almost every day that someone goes to a celebrity's past and is like, oh, look, they said this obvious joke or this thing that's hate-filled by today's standards. So let's take them down for it. You know, I think that that's probably why everybody's anxious and worried.
You think it's because they've said things in the past that can be brought up?
Well, no, I don't. As far as kids our age,
right.
I think most people our age are super hyper aware of that. And so it's not really that they're worried about. It's that they constantly have to be aware of that.
Yeah.
I don't think, I think that a lot of people struggle with being themselves because they're worried about what the world's going to say about them, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, think about the things that you used to get away with as a kid that are now unacceptable. Think about that for a second.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, you were a pretty... You were a very straight shooter growing up. I was there.
Give me an example.
well, like the word retarded.
You're right.
That was a huge thing at my elementary school, actually. Mm-hmm. And then as we went through high school together, it was kind of the same way. Like, mm-hmm. it used to be... That was just, hey, you know... Quit being retarded. That used to. It's still funny to us because, like, as kids,
that's what we grew up with.
Used to say that. Like, people used to say that all the time, and then it became unacceptable to say. And like, I'm glad it did because I know it's really offensive to a lot of people, and I'm okay with not saying it now. And like, I accept that. But just how fast those things shift on you, and that you could be unaware of something like that or caught up in something where if I had Twitter at that age and I had posted like, hey man, quit being retarded.
And it was like a video of a friend.
And it was a video of a friend doing some stupid thing.
And you just never took that down.
Yeah. No, like 5 years later in my Twitter history, or if I made a Facebook page at 13 when everybody else was, like that stuff can come back. And at a job interview, someone could look at that and say,
nope.
What is this?
Yeah.
And you look at people like major celebrities this has happened to, Kevin Hart making that joke and is Seriously Funny, which is a great comedy special. It's a hilarious one. I still watch it all the time. And he made that joke about his son being like, he didn't want his son to grow up gay.
Yeah.
5 years ago, that was probably, it's not more, it honestly, it was in the time it was more acceptable to say.
Yeah.
And at least now it's kind of grown to have a bad stigma, and you know, he couldn't, whatever. That's a fear. People are scared of stuff like that happening to them.
Yeah.
And it's not just like this, oh well, you just want to be racist 5 years ago and we're just uncovering your racism.
Your racism. Yeah.
It's I don't know. Maybe that's a little bit of it, but that's not the full picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say, I mean, obviously there's a line. You know,
obviously.
Like,
I mean,
you can't. It is obviously offensive to be running around and saying the N-word. Obviously.
No. Yeah. You don't do that.
You don't do that. But by the same token, we as human beings should be able to distinguish. That's 1,000,000% a joke.
Right.
You know? And Kevin Hart was doing a stand-up special. You know, people say jokes or kids say stupid stuff. You know.
Yeah, 14-year-old kids.
Yeah, say really dumb things. And so I think that as a society, we have to, it would be a great thing if we could all move towards not being as offended all the time, you know?
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
I think that would be great. Obviously, that's not going to happen.
No, obviously it's not. It's just not, doesn't align with the political climate. It doesn't align with social media and just who we are now. We're so hyper-connected that it's becoming an unfortunate challenge for a lot of us. But at the same time, there are a lot of great things that come from social media. The fact that we're more accepting as a culture than ever is a great thing.
Yeah.
The fact that we are made aware of the challenges of a lot of less fortunate groups in American society, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing, but when it turns back around and everybody starts pointing fingers, like we're all just going to point fingers.
Yeah, it's Mexican standoff style.
Yeah, it's going to be like boom, boom.
Wait, is that racist? Mexican.
Latin American.
Hispanic standoff
cowboy
style.
Cowboy. Midwestern.
It is interesting how it seems as though, and I could be wrong, and this might be offensive, it seems like even though that's just like, oh, I'm American, like I'm from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
In some circles, like Mexican sounds almost derogatory because of the way that it was used and stigmatized a while ago.
And it's a nationality.
Yeah, it's a nationality. That's it. That's it.
That's, you know, yeah, there's nothing, there's no other oomph put on that word. It's just like, hey, you're from the country of Mexico.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. There's nothing, I don't know. I agree, though. That stigma happened, like people talk about, you know, Mexican food when maybe it's another kind, and like that, I don't know, cultural appropriation. What are we gonna do?
I don't know. But we're, according to the whole line of logic, is straight white males, our opinion matters the least. So
right,
everything that you've heard here, you can pretty much throw out the window if you subscribe to that ideology.
I agree.
Which is incorrect, but well, I won't go there right now. But all that to say, we went on a little bit of a tangent there, but I think the motivation for students and people in general and burnout, I remember for the longest time, anytime I was trying to accomplish something and I started to feel the smallest inkling of desire to stop,
mm-hmm.
I would constantly tell myself, don't be a little bitch.
Don't be one.
That's what I would tell myself. And as this pubescent and prepubescent boy, mm-hmm. who really cared about being perceived as such, that was enough, you know?
Yeah.
Now I'm old enough to where it's like, well, I'm gonna do me and I don't really care what people think. I have to find other ways to motivate myself. And for a long, like the reason that I'm doing engineering was probably because I want to secure myself a decent job with money. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that was a motivation to go into engineering. But now that I'm here, it's like, I don't know what I'm doing, you know?
I agree.
And so I have to keep pushing myself in a different way. And there are many days where I wake up and I have no idea how I'm going to do that, you know? But
wow, yeah, it's you okay, man?
Yeah. I am great. Doing great.
have another glass, man.
No, I don't need another glass.
Okay.
But all that to say,
motivation's hard.
It really is.
It's tough to find the thing that drives you, and not everyone has it. Not everyone can have it all the time.
Absolutely.
I'd say no one can probably have it 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that you have and you don't, and you find what matters to you, and you put all of your willpower towards that.
Yeah.
And you turn it into a reality.
But it's key to keep pushing, and I think that there are a couple pillars, so to speak, to always focus on, at least for me. I think everybody should do this. I think physical health and mental health. So you don't want to get up and run, but you need to go run. You need to go lift some weights. You have to. Mm-hmm. Especially as students, you have to go do that because of the endorphin kick that you get. There have been days where I've been studying all day long and I feel so behind, I feel so lost, I'm pissed, and there's no way that I'm getting through this period. So I take a break, go for a run, go lift some weights, and I feel so much better afterward. And I sit back down and I start looking at it, and it's like, okay, I kind of actually know this stuff. So I think physical fitness is absolutely key.
It's also key at our age because if you don't get as lean as you're going to get in your life by your 20s, you're not getting any leaner.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those harsh realities of life.
Mm-hmm. Very true. And then also the mental drive to say, I'm going to get better every single day.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. I'm going to get off my ass and I'm going to get better every single day. Of whatever that is. I'm going to get better socially. I'm going to get better mentally. I'm going to get better physically. I'm going to get better at X thing.
That's a good point. I think a lot of people think getting better at what they're doing means, like in my case for medical school, it means, okay, I need to get up at 4 a.m. and study the MCAT every waking moment for every day. And it's not like that. There are a lot of different like worthy causes to put that energy towards.
For sure.
You could go volunteer more. You could go talk to your teachers to secure a better rec letter. You could go really put your effort towards a club so you could be elected president. There's so many things that you can put your drive towards, and it's about prioritizing, figuring out what's the best for you, what you're passionate about, and there are a lot of different factors. I think people know that they need motivation. I think people kind of know when they have it and when they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't necessarily know is what to put that towards.
Yeah.
And that indecisiveness puts them in a position where people just sit down and like do nothing and watch YouTube videos.
Yeah. That leads me to my next question of what's your biggest obstacle in the sense of what stops you the most?
That's a good question. Yeah. I think it's easy to look at the screen time thing on your iPhone and say like, oh, delete that app.
Yeah.
I mean, that would probably save me an hour and a half, but at the same time, I feel like it's not addressing the underlying problem. And I think the underlying problem for me is that it takes me a while to get into the mental state where I'm ready to grind. I feel good when I'm grinding. I feel like
don't
I can.
Don't we all?
Yeah. No, I feel good when I'm working hard on schoolwork, when I'm doing whatever. But getting to the point, going from asleep in bed to up and grinding, that process sucks.
It does.
And
it sucks so bad.
And that to me is my biggest issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would agree. I think I'm totally on the same page. If it's super easy to look at your phone and say, well, I watch an hour and a half of YouTube every single day,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I agree that that comes from an underlying issue and that's just an excuse. If you delete YouTube, you're going to look at Instagram. If you delete Instagram, you're going to doodle on your sheet of paper. If you know, I think it comes from a deeper mental state of setting your mind to something and saying, I'm going to complete this regardless of what else is going on around me.
Yeah. And I think it's a muscle too. It's
absolutely, it's
as
a muscle.
In it's something that you can train. You can mm-hmm. train. You can't get yourself motivation, but you can get yourself into that. I think people call it the flow state or whatever.
Interesting.
That's just one term I've heard for it. You can get yourself into the grind. That is a muscle and you can work on that. And that every time you say, okay, I'm going to get up on my first alarm and I'm going to go sit down, make myself a healthy breakfast and get an hour of studying in before class. Every time you do that, it gets easier the next time.
Yeah, I agree. And all of this is coming from, especially on my end of things, someone who does not do this perfectly.
Nobody does,
but like,
not a chance.
I have so much work that I can do. Mm-hmm. And I hope that that's part of what this podcast becomes is, and it, not only just a place where we can discuss very cool things and very interesting things, but also a group where, you know, we're able to say, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what you're struggling with. How can we help each other in this way and things that I do to help me in that realm? You know, I think that that would be an incredible opportunity for us as people, just if nobody listens to this podcast, just between Seth and I, but also between the hopefully community that we build of people who want to get better, whatever that means, you know?
Yeah.
And
just start figuring some things out about life.
Yeah. I think it is unbelievably important to surround yourself, to listen to be around, especially whenever you're young, like we are, because I'm not going to pretend like I have all the wisdom in the world. I so don't.
Yeah, you know? Same here.
Yeah. Especially when you're young, to surround yourself with people who are looking to go somewhere, to do something. Because college is a battleground of the screw-ups and the people who are going somewhere. It really is. Like, it really is.
Which side are you going to be on?
Which side are you going to be on? And it is so easily determined by the people you surround yourself with. And so I think lazy people are dangerous and infectious. Like, I really do. That sounds pretty harsh, mm-hmm. but lazy people are infectious. I've been, my girlfriend says that I'm really intense when it comes to this thing.
It comes to what thing? Like you ranting about laziness?
Yeah. Or just
work ethic.
Yeah. I am known among a lot of my friends as the guy who will outwork anybody.
And me for one. Connor will outwork anybody.
I would say I am slightly above average intelligence.
Don't flatter yourself.
I'm not. I'm saying slightly.
Okay.
And I mean slightly.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm not anything crazy. But I have people who, a lot of my acquaintances, like I've had several people this semester contact me and say, hey, will you tutor me in this subject that I've never taken? And you're definitely smarter than I am. And I know a lot of people who are definitely smarter than I am. But I think the reason that I've had people contact me and say, hey, will you tutor me in this thing, is they think that I'm really, really smart because I'm curious and I work really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's half the battle, you know?
Yeah.
You could be endowed with the most incredible brain in the world, but if you're lazy, you're going to get outworked at some point. Like, you just will. It's just going to happen.
Right.
Because there's going to be someone who wants it more. That's just going to happen.
Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
You're right. You're exactly right.
Yeah. In my Chemi group, I'm pretty lucky. I have a group of people in the same scholarship group as me, and I think they're both equally as smart, or mm-hmm. I know one of them for sure is way smarter than me. And they also work really hard.
Yeah.
And being around a group of people like that, A, really humbles you. And when you're humble, you have perspective.
Yeah.
And when you have perspective, and when you're around a group of people that are really intelligent as well, and, you know, you're not going to impress anybody by putting in your mediocre amount of work, right?
Yeah.
You really have to work hard to do something special, and I think it makes that gratitude that you get from accomplishing something much, much greater.
Yeah, I think that speaks to big fish syndrome. And what I mean by that is you can enter a pond, so to speak, this social group, and you're either a big fish or a small fish, and the big fish eat the small fish and get bigger, right? And if you're able to align yourself with other big fish, that helps you grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's one. I think that's what successful college students do, but I also think that that's what successful people do in general. And that doesn't mean monetarily, even though it definitely will lead to that probably. It means whatever is important to you in your life, if you do that, you will probably be successful in that thing. There are no guarantees, though, obviously. But that's just from two college students who are out here trying to figure it out themselves.
Trying to do it. And I think that's about
what's our
time.
We'll look at that.
We're
only at 59 minutes. We still got a second.
Oh, we do. We do have a second.
We have a couple minutes.
So now rate Evan Williams.
Yeah, it's a solid
3.5.
3.5? Solid.
I'm honestly surprised it didn't go down anymore.
Really? Well, I didn't drink anymore.
yeah.
It could have gone lower. It could have.
Are you interested in seeing what the one below this tastes like? Or even Kentucky
one
Tavern?
One of these weeks. Oh, yeah. I'm really interested in Kentucky Tavern.
You need to go check it out. When I say bottom shelf, like, you can't even see it when you're standing.
It's under the shelf, up against the baseboards. Like, you can't.
Yeah, it's back in the back collecting cobwebs. And
I'm really interested in trying some. I'm interested in trying some low dollar and some high dollar.
Side by side. We'll do a taste test one episode. When we get 10 bottles, we'll do a taste test of all 10 and see if we can pick them out. That would be hilarious.
That would be really good. But yeah, whiskey's expensive. So if there are any sponsors out there, you just let
Yeah, not Evan Williams, though, because we just trashed here.
But in general, I did a little math, and I was like, if we average, you know, $30 a bottle, we're, you know, 50 episodes, $1,500.
Yeah, that's a lot of whiskey.
That's a lot of whiskey. That's a lot of dollaros. We're just two college kids out here trying
to
do
our
best.
Start buying pints, man.
Yeah, seriously, little tasters.
Get the little airplane shots.
Yeah, exactly. But hopefully you enjoyed this, Bob, Jim, John, Margaret, Janice.
Margaret and James.
Whatever your name is.
Both of you.
But thanks for tuning in to us for an hour. This might have been a little on the on the doom and gloom side of things. I don't know. But
we promise it gets cheerier.
Yeah. Hopefully it was enjoyable. But that's what this podcast is going to be all about. Seth and I just talking about stuff that we find
that interests us.
Interesting and important, I think. Yeah. And
relevant to a younger generation in America.
Exactly. Exactly. I think if we can form that community of younger people who
Just trying to figure stuff out.
Trying to figure stuff out. That would be an incredible thing. So if you want to join that community, you want to join the discussion, please email us at nonsense. So that's the word nonsense and then a capital N and then the word nothingness at gmail.com. We would love to hear from you.
We would love to.
And join the conversation because right now, hardly anyone's listening. And so if you send us an email, we're for sure responding.
This is your chance.
This is your chance right here. Because obviously we're going to blow up in a couple weeks. Definitely going to blow up.
Yeah, bet on us.
Yeah, but if you enjoy it, please share it. Send it out. But hopefully you did. And that's what this podcast is all about. So until next time.
Be nothing.
Be nothing. I don't know if I like that saying.
Oh, boy.